If you don't like them, just go. Now, anyway, the meditation, so we'll start. Obviously, we all think, don't we? And we didn't always used to think. So firstly, we'll focus on your belief systems. What thoughts create your reality? So your beliefs. Now, what do you think of that? I mean, where do you think your beliefs come from? Give me some past. Examples.
Our past.
Our past, our conditioning, our parents. Parents, yes. Yeah.
Culture.
Inspiration. And now you're getting to it. You see how many beliefs, all of that except the inspiration one, are really beliefs that could get quite rigid, can't they? Because we keep repeating our beliefs, and society and our parents and our culture and so on keeps, and our education and our habits keep reinforcing our beliefs, and then people just don't see real reality. Because reality is, energy follows thought, and then your reality adjusts accordingly. So technically, your beliefs should not be fixed. So that's the first meditation. We're going to unfix your beliefs, make them move. And one of the things to realize is the power of imagination. You know, people tend to think imagination is a wrong thing to have, and that we're not meant to make things up. But when you imagination from a spiritual point of view, a meditative point of view, is the ability to stretch your thoughts. And when you stretch your thoughts, you can think ways that you didn't used to think, which are actually connected to other realities which really do exist, including higher realities, and then you change your whole reality. So what we'll do is you can imagine your belief systems. A good image to have for belief systems, you just imagine your mind, and you can think of a kind of yellow or whitish aura around you, and your thoughts are in there. And imagine your belief systems should be, they should be like crystals, like crystal structures, because that's the nature of thoughts. Thoughts really do exist. If you were a spirit guide, you can see thoughts as clearly as we see objects. You know, thoughts are visible. Only they're not visible to our human eyes, they're visible to eyes that are in the mental body. Now, thoughts tend to appear like crystals, i.e. they have structure. And that's the nature of a thought. It gives your life structure. So imagine your thoughts, and if they feel like rocks, rigid rocks that don't move and are hardening you, then that's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
An example of a hardening disease? Give us some couple of... Sclerosis, like arteriosclerosis, rigidity of the arteries, rigidity in the heart, hardening of the joints, arthritis, stones like gallstones, kidney stones. These are all diseases that occur from someone having rigid thoughts over a long period of time. You know, so removing the gallstones is not a cure for the rigid mind, and it just carries on. So the I'm teaching. I'm meant to be teaching in the weekend, not right now. But anyway, so what we'll do is we'll soften the thoughts by imagining your thoughts, belief systems, are traveling upwards into the spiritual world, into outer space. And if you can, try to even imagine your thoughts reach towards the stars. And that will, of course, open them up to new channeling. So that's one direction. The other direction, you want your thoughts to go downwards into the earth, towards the center of the earth. And these are real places. And when they go there, they start changing your reality. And even more importantly, you are willing to have your reality changed. Because a lot of people even have a different thought form, but they are resisting change at the physical level. If you imagine that, you'll feel if your thoughts are stuck, they won't go up or down. So that's the first meditation. I might tell you the theory of the second one now. I'll tell you the theory of the second one now in case we go straight into that. We'll then activate a connection to the gnomes, who are the dwarves. And they're not, you know, like dwarves in The Hobbit. These are more elemental beings. and they're in an invisible sort of way. They live inside the earth. Now, of course, nature is full of forces we don't fully appreciate. And the gnomes are the earth elementals. They govern and supervise crystals and rocks inside the earth, including the grounding of our thoughts. And when they ground our thoughts, they kind of cocoon our thoughts into a cave in the underworld or into the subconscious, where that thought can germinate and grow in, as a seed. And seeds are ruled in the plant kingdom by Saturn. Saturn is a hardening planet, so it gets you the idea. Now, when we connect to the gnomes, for one thing, if you find it difficult to connect to the gnomes and have your thoughts held by the gnomes, that's usually a sign that you're spaced out chronically and you can't ground your thinking. But what we'll do is we'll activate past life gnomes. In some past lives, you had thoughts which became the seeds for current life action. And what would you like to have thought up in past lives is really good thoughts. You know, fantastic thoughts that then in this life become great opportunities, good karma, healthy relationships, good career prospects, whatever they are. And you can go back into time and do that. A good particular place to go to is ancient Egypt. In this particular meditation, I think we'll activate any past life, ancient Egyptian thoughts. This would be between 3000 and 1000 BC, held by the gnomes that are ready to activate now in this life. You might think that's a bit far-fetched. But some of the lives in ancient Egypt have been waiting to, the thoughts from those lives have been waiting for this life to activate. I won't explain fully why, it's because of the laws of time. There are cycles within cycles. And that particular time of evolution is relevant to what we're going through now. Okay, so let's make a start. And don't worry if you can't imagine it fully, just think it and something will happen. So first, imagining, or just appreciating you're sitting in your chair, you've arrived into this room, into this meditation session. Briefly, just for a minute or two, run through the events of the day from when you got up. Just so you can let the day go. Relaxed in your chair, putting your attention now around your third eye and your throat and your heart. So start by imagining a visual image to represent your overall, your belief systems. That visual image is in front of you. Imagine a few feet in front of you, in front of your third eye, are rocks or crystals representing the sum total of your beliefs, your belief systems. As if these crystals are suspended in the air in front. And then imagine your whole brain your head has a crystal-like quality. Sense if it feels like clear quartz, or does it seem heavier, denser, rock-like? And then in your own time, imagine lines of light rising from your crystal brain, representing your thoughts, your belief systems rising to reach the stars, to reach the spiritual beings up there. Sense if that's possible. Allow yourself to let go of any heavy, rock-like thoughts that don't go up. Elevate your lighter thoughts. Willingly allow your thoughts to change and stretch upwards. Even though your thoughts are rising, sense your whole body is filling with light, as if you're receiving new thoughts as well from the stars. New thoughts that give you new perspectives. Making your whole body a higher vibration. Then imagine your crystal brain again and your thoughts now travelling down into the earth itself, deeper and deeper, with the intention you want to manifest your destiny. Act upon your thinking. And that all your thoughts become reality. come back into your heart, to center yourself as you come out. And, you know, an image to have, like I said, is gnomes in the earth holding some, you know, guarding some of your thoughts from past lives, ready to release them because they're seeds now, ready to germinate in your life. And you know what gnomes' doors look like.
Yeah.
So, short guys, big head, you know, round, hard skull. Usually they're quite grumpy. And they really are. I mean, it's not just a kind of cultural thing. They really are because they're having to deal with everyone's waste all the time and are constantly having to recycle people's leftover energy. So, and they don't, and they work hard all the time and they don't have a holiday compared to the other elementals. Anyway, so let's get cracking on this. So again, imagining now a column of light all around you. And just be aware or try to imagine that you're never alone. You are constantly surrounded by angels, your spirit guides, and forces of nature, including the elementals. And also imagine that everything you do and say and think affects the whole of creation and the world around you all the time. But also imagine that every moment in the now you receive completely new experiences and possibilities from the spiritual world above you and the subconscious worlds below you. So in this meditation we'll receive some impulses from the realm of the gnomes. Imagine below you, you can go as deep as you want, that there are some gnomes that have been holding little crystals, rocks representing the seeds of your thoughts from past lives. Perhaps those are ancient Egyptian lives or any past life. Ask now or tell the gnomes that you are ready to receive the germination of those thoughts, for them to release those thoughts to you now.
Imagine him coming back into your heart. Come out. So, any feedback from that one? I actually made that short because I want to really beginning to see your life, as in to self, to see what your life, what you were doing during ancient Egypt. So again, we're looking at about 2,500 BC, 2,000 BC. So before then, you would not actually know what you're doing. Obviously friends and family have told you, look, this is what you did. And what did you say back?
Don't remember.
Well, no, what you should be saying is, yes, I did do that. Because I realise what I'm doing. But before then, you'd have said what you just said, Sylvie. I've no idea what you're talking about. So this is very important because in the afterlife, when you died in ancient Egypt, what you were shown in the afterlife is a replay of your life. Because that replay you didn't have inside you. It was streaming outside of you, like an image. And you was, oh, did I do that? Did I? No. And then beings, the gods, would judge you or help you be judged. Because you can't judge yourself. You have no capacity to know whether what you did was right or wrong while you're watching your life. Okay, so in this meditation, what we'll do is we'll go back into that image of you in ancient Egypt, and then you die, and then you go into some kind of afterlife temple and ask to be revealed your life then. Doesn't matter, you make it up to reveal your life, and this time intend to be shown your whole life, that you will look at your whole life. You will not deny looking at any part of your life. Because many souls still now are saying, no, I don't want to see my whole life. And if you don't want to see your whole life, that means there's always stuff that you don't want to deal with. See, eventually. And then we'll go to ancient Greece, which was after. So here you're looking at, say, about 500 BC, you know, around that period of time. And this time, when you, this is when the mind, your mind, you all had incarnations at these times, you know, in these phases of evolution. You developed personal responsibility. And this was when you activated the deepest negative thinking. And that means self-remorse, guilt, self-reproach, anger at what you did, guilt, you know, shame, all these things. You know, we've all done stuff in other lives, this life, whatever, that we think, I'm not proud of myself. Well, before ancient Greece, anything you did wrong, you could deny or not take full responsibility for and blame it on the gods, blame it on other beings, because they guided you. But during ancient Greece, you could not blame anyone. You had to fully take on the punishment. That was very good. So if any souls now in their incarnations haven't completed the Greek stage of development of the mind, they don't know how to deal with their negative thinking. To fully go through the Greek stage allows you now to totally transform negative thinking because you know how to forgive yourself. You've gone through all the self-reproach. So if you feel in your ancient Greek life, you're in the underworld and you're facing yourself in the underworld, your shadow, and you might feel you're imprisoned by yourself, trapped by your remorse and your shame and your guilt. And that's fine, that's good. Allow yourself to go through the prison sentence in ancient Greece, because right now that means you'll be free. that make sense? So let's do those two and see what happens. Okay, so we'll imagine that below you in the earth, in the realm called the subconscious, there are many pockets of reality containing, including your past lives. And you can access any of your past lives. You just have to believe it. So imagine a door opens up, like a trapdoor, in the earth below you. And you can travel down a tunnel going into the earth itself. And it's a magical tunnel that takes you into your past lives. It's asked to go to a relevant ancient Egyptian life when you could develop your ability to see yourself, to truly see your life. You don't need to see anything exactly. But imagine or ask in that ancient Egyptian life. You are given a replay, a video, movie stream of your life. And that you are willing to see the whole of yourself. While that is going on, you notice another side tunnel opening up that allows you to journey to an ancient Greece life, ancient Greek life, where you can face your shadow, face your fears, and face your lower mind in that underworld. Have you fully ask yourself in a test, in a mental test, have you fully taken complete responsibility for all your mistakes, your wrong actions in that Greek life? Even imagine that there was an ancient Greek life where you experienced the most negativity that you could possibly experience as a challenge to how to be the most negative, so that in future lives you don't need to be. Sense now that in either one or both of those lives, the Greek and the Egyptian, you receive a gift from your soul. And that gift you can carry back now. It might be an object. A gift that represents something you are able to now gain from those experiences. Bring that gift back as you come back up the tunnel to the surface. You do these meditations at home, don't you? The ancient Greek life, meditatively, to help your thinking. It, something didn't complete there. And has anyone been to Greece and visited any archaeological sites?
Yes.
Very good. So have you been to... there's something called the Theatre of Dionysus. Have you been to that?
Yes.
In the Acropolis?
Yes,
in the Acropolis is it's quite well preserved, the Theatre of Dionysus. If you ever get down to Greece, go there. And there's lots of things to see anyway in the rest of Greece, but that one. If you sit in a theatre, Dionysus was the god of wine and drinking and partying and so on. But one of the other big functions was theatre. And theatre was a big thing in Greece, and you might think it was just entertainment. But it's more than that. It was an initiation. Because as you watched a play, because plays now are really relatively meaningless. You know, theatre now is nonsense. Most theatre is a depiction of the real, of reality, like what's going on in a housing estate somewhere. And no one's interested in that from the spiritual world. You know, what you want in theatre is anything to do with epic, higher reality. So in ancient Greece, what you'd do is you'd watch a play. And that play would generally be one of two types of plays. A tragedy or a comedy. That's kind of all they had. And, you know, if you watch the play, you would be shown your own life. You would start seeing your own life. Part of you is watching a play, but also another part of you comes in and you perceive you watching you as if you are a play. So it's a kind of initiation of consciousness, and you would appreciate whether your play, your own life, is like a tragedy as is depicted on the stage, and you'd feel then that nothing's going right. You know, everything's happening against you, you just got bad luck. Because deliberately, spiritual beings would make it such that everything went wrong in your life. You know, there were many mishaps, things just not working out, you not meeting the right people at the right time. Your life is a tragedy. You all had to have tragic lives. Then there were other lives which were comedies. And a comedy is a life where you're totally carefree and joyful, and you know, you laugh at yourself. So you're watching your life as if you are, you know, seeing the funny side of things. So what clearly you want to do is have a comedy, you know, experience. I don't mean, you know, comic buffoonery or something, but constantly smiling at yourself. So in this meditation, what we'll do is we'll go to ancient Greece, a theatre of Dionysus. Imagine you are seeing your life now, this life, and see if it's a tragedy or a comedy. And if it's a tragedy, ask for it to be a comedy. Okay. So, what we'll do is imagine that the portal is still open. A portal to the culture of ancient Greece, so we can use an initiation from there in the current life. Imagine a scene opening up in front of you, and that is like an open air theatre. It's the theatre of Dionysus. You see the stone seats in circles all around the central stage. So you sit on one of the seats, waiting for the performance to start. And in due course, you see your life is playing on the stage in front of you. You are the many actors and characters of your life on the stage. And sense if you are watching a tragedy or a comedy. Convert it into a comedy more and more, as if you are sitting on the stage, sitting watching the stage and laughing at the performance of your life. As you come back to this life, sense if anything has shifted, whether you feel things are more free, as if you released any burdens. Oh, any feedback from that one? Be useful for me if someone had any.
I'll explain all seven of them, and you might want to focus on one of the planets,
but you might want to do all seven. So what we'll do is we'll activate the way, the type of thinking that you can have depending on the planet you're using. See, you know astrology, there are seven major planets in the solar system from an ancient kind of spiritual point of view. And again, just to confirm, you aren't an isolated person. Your thoughts are constantly part of the thoughts of other beings.
So are they thought is in control or making decisions for us, for our thought? We get influenced from their thought?
Well, it's a good question. One answer would be that when you're ready to receive a thought, i.e. if you are ready to, if you have emptied and cleared something, and you're ready to fulfill a certain task, the beings that who want that particular task to be done, because you are ready and you want that particular task, they send you help. They send you their thoughts, their ideas, their plans. And so it really is collaboration.
So we function because of their...
No, you have to also... We, all of us, have to constantly complete and let go. The more you let go, the more you're empty, the more you receive.
Whether it's negative or positive?
I'm talking about negative. Most humans are constantly dwelling on their own past and their own stuff and are regurgitating their life experiences over and over again. So it doesn't create enough space for spiritual beings to say, hang on, I've got some new stuff I need you to do. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to open our minds up to these higher beings, and there's seven planets to work on. One is Saturn, it's the first one. Saturn is the planet that the beings from there help you, and you are part of you is Saturn, you see. Part of you has Saturn thinking. And that kind of thinking is the thinking of ancient wisdom. Thoughts that have been part of you for a long time, including past life thoughts and ancestral thoughts. Thoughts that you have thought through many times. So those thoughts become a kind of very deep wisdom within you. So we're asked to activate Saturn thinking, and ideally, if you have the highest development of Saturn thinking, that means you have real ancient wisdom coursing through you. For people who haven't developed the highest level of Saturn thinking, all they've got is rigid thoughts from some limited past lives that aren't going anywhere. Right. So you see what we're doing, we're stretching some of these thoughts. Then the next one is Jupiter. And Jupiter thinking is the ability to see how thoughts grow into other thoughts, into that thinking. This allows you, opens up a path and brings people to you, other beings come towards you, you start getting help because you're thinking this way, positively say, and if you thought this way, you'd probably get blocked. So Jupiter thinking is about growth, okay, and opportunities. So we'll activate that. Then we'll activate Mars thinking. And Mars thinking will show you how strong your will is. Because you know how people are stubborn? You know, have you ever met someone who's so stubborn that what they're thinking, they're going to make it happen against the odds? Everything's going wrong, but they make it happen because the strong belief in their will. That's a healthy expression of Mars, of that, is when you have a strong will orientated thinking and you make it happen because you are going to make it happen. Then sun thinking, sun-based thinking, is where your thoughts are very inspirational and they shine. They literally light up your life and light up the world. So create that image. Venus thinking, that's a sense that your thoughts, they go deep into the heart of your soul. Those thoughts are thoughts that you have deeply kind of nurtured within yourself. You might think a bit like Saturn, but these thoughts are also very kind of aesthetic, harmonious. Mercury thinking is the ability to connect your thoughts to anyone else, including spiritual beings, I mean. And finally, moon thinking is the ability to have thoughts that are totally yours in your kind of cocoon. Now, you might think, oh, it doesn't make sense, any of that. But don't worry, I'll go through all seven planetary thought types and just see what you feel, what images you get, and how it kind of jolts your mind. You know, you'll be shaking around like that in your mind, and we'll see if we can rewrite your thoughts. So, this time, I'm going to imagine that there are spirit guides above you. There are probably several spirit guides, multiple spirit guides, all circling above you. And these spirit guides are connected to different planet energies as well. And imagine that some of these spirit guides know you very well. They were with you in other lives. They have watched you and watched over you throughout this life. And now imagine that Saturn, a planet in our solar system, a beam of light descends from Saturn to energize your mind, your brain, to activate Saturn thinking. And Saturn thinking is about having ancient wisdom coursing through you. As that continues, another planet appears above you, Jupiter, projecting its glow, its light towards your mind. Ask to activate Jupiter thinking, where your thoughts stretch, grow into the possibilities, into many possible directions, and connects to the right guides, the right people. Where you see the truth behind things. And then Mars, the planet, projects its light to you, to your mind. Ask to activate the Mars thinking of will, will-orientated or will-focused thinking. What you will strengthens your thoughts. Imagine the sun activating its light into your mind, your thoughts taking on a glow, shining and brightening and lighting up the world around you. Venus thoughts. Imagine These thoughts are from deep within your soul. Thoughts that you've deeply nurtured within yourself. Thoughts based on what you truly value. Mercury thoughts. Imagine Mercury helps your thoughts fly, move into the realities that they need to. Finally, imagine moon, the moon thinking helps you be in your own space to truly reflect and understand yourself. Before you come out, imagine lines of light from your feet so you stay grounded to the earth below.